Wonderful. Amen. To be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, this is a celebration. We are celebrating the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're celebrating. I told somebody, I think yesterday, that, you know, South Carrollton Missionary Baptist Church is in a full-blown celebration. Amen? And that's the way every church ought to be. Every church ought to be celebrating the virgin birth of Jesus. What he's done for us, folks. You're talking about, if you would, let me say something before we get started. Donna informed me that Matt Ragland is not doing well. He's really sick. He's in Nashville. He's been there just about a couple of weeks, and he's not doing well. And I want us to pray for him right now. Let's join our hearts together, our minds together, our prayers together, and let's pray. Let's pray for Matt Ragland, okay? Our Heavenly Father, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the great physician. You are the forgiver of our sin. You heal our bodies. You sustain us. You guide us. You love us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in every believer this morning. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we pray for Matt, Lord, we do join our hearts together, our minds together, our prayers together as a church, Lord, and lift up Matt in prayer. We pray, Lord, for his health. We pray, Lord, that you would touch him right now, that you would heal his body, that he would begin to get better right now. Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that in your will, Lord, your will be done. And Lord, we pray for Tammy. Lord, I know she's tired. Lord, she loves her husband. And Lord, she's just been with him every moment and trying to work a day and spend a day at the hospital, going all the way back to Nashville. And Lord, my goodness, she needs our encouragement. She needs our prayers. And we pray for her. We pray for the entire family. Lord, that you'd just give them strength and comfort and grace and mercy and all that they need right now in their time of need, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because we've all been there, every one of us, Lord, some way or the other. We have been sick, we've been hurting, we've been down, discouraged, depressed in our lives, and somebody took time to pray for us. And Lord, we're here this morning because somebody loved us enough to get down on their knees and to pray for us. And we're so thankful for them that pray, that believe in prayer in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, we believe that prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. It changes the one that's praying, and it changes the situation that we're praying for. So, Lord, prayer works all the way around. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for one of the greatest things that we have in our life is prayer. Help us to remember that and to use it for your glory always. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is one of the Christmas scriptures that a lot of times we overlook. And I want us to see this. Timothy says, he calls it a mystery, the mystery of godliness. And it is a mystery. The word mystery means something that would baffle your mind, something that you just can't figure out, something that is so powerful, so overwhelming, so wonderful that it baffles the mind. It is a mystery to us. And we could agree together this morning that the virgin birth of Jesus is a mystery. It baffles my mind, really, when I consider it, when I think about it. That's why we believe it by faith. Your mind is finite. Your mind is shallow, just like mine. God, when he talks about, he is infinite. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. When he gives us something that our minds, it overwhelms us, he says, I want to show you something. And this, I want to show you in Scripture what this mystery says. Are you with me? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. After we read this verse, you can be seated, but then we're going to go to Luke chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 20. But look at this Christmas verse. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Wow. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the virgin birth. He was manifest in the flesh, made known in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, that's you and I. We're not Jewish, we're Gentiles. We've been adopted into the plan of God. The Apostle Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentile nations. We're saved today because the Apostle Paul obeyed God. He obeyed God. He went into Rome. He went into the Gentile nations and preached the gospel. And it spread and it came down to where you live, where you are, and your heart. And you're saved because the Apostle Paul preached the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. If you're a believer today, say amen. If you're a believer today, put some gusto in it and say, amen.
Amen.
Believed on in the world and then received up into glory. Now that is mysterious, isn't it? It baffles our mind, but we got to believe it by faith. I like this one word, and without controversy. King James says controversy. The word controversy in the Greek means no dispute, no argument. It's settled. It's without controversy. It's without argument. It is what it is. It is the Word of God. You can be seated, and as you're seated, turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 30. Or excuse me, 1 through 20. And I want to preach on the subject this morning, when angels speak. When angels speak. I want us to begin reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Look up here a moment. The word Bethlehem means the house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. The things in the Bible aren't there by coincidence. That every word, everything in the Word of God, the Bible says every jot and tittle, even the pronunciation, even the periods and all the marks in the Bible, the questions and the exclamations, and everything is anointed. Everything is inspired by God. Bethlehem, the house of bread. In verse 5 it says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Espoused. They were engaged, in other words. And so it was that while they were there the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them. Listen to me. You are the innkeeper of your heart. Listen to that. Every one of us, everybody in this building this morning, you are the innkeeper of your heart. You're the one that can open the door and allow Jesus Christ to come into your life. You can either keep him out or you can allow him to come in. And I hope this Christmas that everybody in this building can say, you know, I had room for Jesus. I opened my heart's door and Jesus came in. In verse 8 it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, you see that? You ought to mark that, you. Unto you. For unto you. I love that, don't you? The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered of those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Merry Christmas. R.G. Lee said this about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Now, R.G. Lee was a great pastor. He had a lot of wisdom in his life. But listen what he said about the virgin birth of Jesus. Now listen carefully and closely. Jesus Christ was the only baby ever born who had a heavenly father but no heavenly mother. A earthly mother but no earthly father. He was the only baby ever born who was older than his mother and the same age as his father. I know it blows your mind. But that describes exactly the virgin birth. Did you know Jesus Christ, he was born at night in darkness? Did you know the time that Jesus was born, that it was spiritually dark in the world? They just had 400 years of silence. From Malachi to Matthew, it's called the silent years. No scripture, nothing from God. 400 or 450 years, it was complete silence. Nothing from heaven. Nothing from God. No scripture, nothing. And then all of a sudden in Matthew, there is a birth announcement. A birth announcement. You see, our lives, we are living in spiritual darkness in this world. It seems like it's getting darker every day. The McCamey sang a song, Getting Used to the Dark. I'm afraid that even people in the church are getting used to the dark. And I plead with you and I beg you, don't get used to the dark. Pray, witness, share Christ wherever you go. I was reading about John Grisham. John Grisham, he was a Mississippi lawyer. And he writes novels. And one of those novels he tells about as a lawyer and his wife together who sat in church. They sat in church every Sunday and tuned God out. Some of you can sit in church every Sunday and tune God out. Tune what I'm saying to you out. This is a lawyer and his wife sat in church every Sunday and tuned God out. He said mentally he worked on a law case at church. He tuned God out in such a way that mentally he worked on a law case. His wife said mentally she redecorated the living room. In church, mentally, it's possible for you to sit in church and tune God out. It happens. Why do you think I get up here and I sweat and I spit and I run up and down the aisle when I can? You know why? Because I don't want you to go to sleep. I don't want you to go to sleep. I don't want you to tune God out. I want you to hear. You got to hear. If you don't hear, God can't help you. You've got to listen. You've got to hear. But in the scripture, there's three things that I want you to look at. The first thing, I want you to see the messengers of God. In verse 8 and 9, the messengers of God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel, the messenger. Now watch this. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. They were so afraid. Now look up here. God sends messengers in your life. Messengers in your life. I am a messenger from God to you this morning. God sends messengers in your life, but you've got to listen. God can send a messenger with a sermon. He can send a messenger with a song. He can send a messenger, a friend, with a word of encouragement or guidance or direction. God sends messengers in your life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. That's why you need to be kind to everybody. Amen. You may be talking to an angel. You may be entertaining an angel and you're unaware of it. There was a Christmas play and the angels came swinging down from the ceiling or something. It just came riding on something. It just Christmas play, and here they go just swooping down, angels and angel costumes in a Christmas play, and here they come. But they didn't have Jesus. They left out Jesus. You see, it's possible for you to leave out Jesus. It's so possible for you to miss Jesus, even at Christmas. You say you can go to church and miss Jesus. On December the 25th, you can even miss Jesus. You can live your entire life and miss Jesus. If you miss Jesus in your life, you have missed it all. You have missed it all. Messengers are around us. Secondly, I want you to see the message. The message of God, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That is the message which shall be to all people. He said, the angel said, be not afraid. Some of you are, you're allowing fear to control your life. You're a Christian. You're saved. But you're afraid. Why are you afraid? You're saved. You have Jesus. Put fear where it belongs, under your feet. The devil is the author of fear. Claim Jesus over that fear. Place faith in Christ and watch that fear leave you. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Amen. Listen to me. Some things are very hard to understand in life. You cannot figure out everything. You do not have all the answers for everybody's problems. You don't have all the answers. Some people think, well, I've got the answer. What is your problem? I can help you. You don't have all the answers. But what you do have is Jesus. Listen to this. A man went to a doctor and got a prescription. Every day for 2 years, he showed it to the conductor for a rail pass. He used it to get into Radio City Music Hall. Once he used it to get into the symphony, he got a raise at work by showing his boss this prescription, his daughter playing it on the piano, got a scholarship. Now that's foolish, ain't it? A prescription? You cannot figure that out. I cannot figure that out. But I want you to understand, in that foolishness, in your life, you cannot figure everything out in your life. And that's why you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith in God. You see, your response to God this Christmas. You know, we put so much time. I love Christmas. But I've seen people put so much time in decorating, and that's okay, don't get me wrong. But a lot of people that decorate inside and out, I just wonder how much Jesus they have. So many people drag their kids to Santa Claus. Even sick to get pictures. And that's great. But how many parents really make an effort to get their children to Sunday school and to church? You hear your preacher this morning. You can live without Santa. You can. And I love him. I love him just like you do. I love that little jolly rascal that likes more milk and cookies. That's okay. But don't leave out Jesus. Because you can live without Santa, but you cannot live without Jesus. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You may exist, but you can't really live. What are you going to do this Christmas? What are you going to give Jesus on his birthday? Listen to me. What are you going to give Jesus? You know what he wants from you and I as Christians? Number one, he wants your talent. Every one of you have a gift. You've got a talent. He wants you to use it. Give him that talent. He saved you to serve him. Give him your talent. Give him your time. So many people have very little time for God. They've got time for everything else. Why? A lot of people cannot come to church 2 Sundays in a row. It's as if they're keeping, listen, it's as if they're keeping count. Well, I went this Sunday, that got me off too. Some of you live your life like that. Well, I went last Sunday, that counts. I don't have to come back. I'm preaching now, ain't I? You don't have time for Jesus. Everything else takes up your life. And 50 years from now, those things that you're putting before Jesus will not matter. I was talking to Brianna and Leah. Look over there, teenagers. Thin, beautiful girls. And we was talking about getting old. Their grandmother, Janice, said, well, look here. One of these days you'll be old and wide. They don't believe that. They can't see that one of these days. But I want to tell you something. It's going to happen. And the things that you just put before God in your life 50 years from now, it won't matter. That's why this Christmas, let me give you something. Matthew 6:33 says, this Christmas, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This Christmas, commit your life to seek him first. Seek him first. Renew your commitment to your family. Commit to renew your commitment to your family. Make a commitment to meet with God every day. Oh, preach on, Brother Roger. This Christmas, make a commitment that you're going to meet with God. You're going to talk to God. You're going to pray every day. Every day. Will you commit to that? Make a commitment to meet with God on a daily basis. Prayer. Bible study. Witness. Will you commit yourself to do that? That is the message. But I want you to see the Messiah. In verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord, He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. The Jewish people, I'm going to tell you, listen to me. This is a Jewish book. The way you study the Bible, you got to study it that way. God speaks to the church and to the Jewish nation. When you study the Bible, if you get the scripture for a Jewish nation messed up, you will be so confused. You got to know the difference in between what God is saying to the church and what God is saying to the Jewish people. We've got a lot of foolishness out there today, listen to me, because people don't know how to discern the scripture. That takes prayer, that takes study, that takes a lot of devotion and dedication. You say, Brother Roger, and I've had people do this all my ministry. They'd come to church and I'd preach my heart out, and then they'd quit coming, and then they'd say, Brother Roger, I just can't understand. I say, well, how much time are you studying the Bible at home? I don't understand. And then there's a few out there that say, well, I know it all. Hey, I'm telling you, I've had it happen. People come to church and they say, well, I've heard all that. Give me something new, preacher. There's a lot of New Age preachers out there on TV. You want something new, just have yourself a ball. Have yourself a blast. But I want to tell you something, a lot of that stuff on the internet, they're denying the gospel. They're preaching a prosperity gospel. Prosperity, you do this, you sow $1,000, you sow this seed into this ministry, and God will bless you. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people falling for that. You don't need, listen, you know, it's not what I don't know that bothers me. It's what I do know. It's what I do know. I want to learn to apply what I do know. You be careful of people that say, well, I know it all, or I'm not getting anything. I've had people come and say, well, I'm not getting fed. Did you know it's your responsibility to feed yourself? I remember going to Montana, right at the base of Yellowstone National Park. And I remember a sign that said, don't feed the bears. Don't you feed the bears. I said, well, don't worry, I won't. But you know why you don't feed the bears? Because they got to learn to feed themselves. If you feed the bears constantly, 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 they'll forget how to take care of themselves. They'll forget how to feed themselves. They'll forget how to sustain themselves. Now listen to me. You can be like the bears. If all you get is right here, that's not going to be enough for you. You'll be one that says, Brother Roger, I'm not getting fed. That's not even in my notes. Listen to me. Listen carefully. You need a Savior. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need the Messiah. The Jewish people are still, many of them, when a Jewish person got saved, a man or woman, they become devout Christians. They would die for their faith. They would die for Christ. Jewish people, when they get born again, when they really get saved, I want to tell you something. Man, they get it. They get plugged in. I mean, they get it good, man. But some of the Jewish people, some of the rabbis, they're still praying for a Messiah to come. Matter of fact, the prayer wall in Jerusalem, at one time in history, it was so jagged. But now it's smooth. It's because those rabbis and those Jewish people go to that wall and they rub that wall and they put their prayers in that wall and they mount them on that wall, and those prayers are praying for a Messiah to come. Year after year, they devote themselves to pray for a Messiah, and the Messiah has already come. I'm going to read you this. Listen very carefully. There was a really poor family in Chicago. A 60-year-old grandmother. Her name was Perfecta. She had two granddaughters, Lydia and Jenny. They'd been burned out of their home. They were living in a tenant house or a rental house, and it was so roach infested, and it caught on fire, and it burned them out of their home. Now they began living in an apartment. And in that apartment, there was no furniture, no rugs, nothing on the walls, a small table, and a small hand of rice on the table. 11-year-old Lydia and 13-year-old Jenny owned only one short sleeve dress each. That's all they had. When they walked to school in the winter, it was a half mile to school. The girls had one sweater, and they shared it. When they got halfway to school, one of the girls would take the sweater off and let her sister wear that sweater. But their grandmother, Perfecta, was so convinced that the Lord was with them. But somebody heard about their needs. And some compassionate people heard about them. Listen to this. In a few hours, rooms were full of furniture, gifts, appliances, rugs, and a lavish Christmas tree. Piles of wrapped presents, food, winter coats, scarves, gloves, and even thousands of dollars was donated to them. But Perfecta and the girls, with all this stuff in their apartment, they began to box things up, put it in a box. And somebody said, why? Listen to this. Why are you boxing some of this stuff up? Listen to what she said. Our neighbors are still in need. We cannot have plenty while they have nothing. And she said, this is what Jesus would do. Somebody asked her, what do you think about all these gifts? She said, Perfecta said, this is wonderful, but we don't deserve it. We don't deserve this. And she said, by the way, These things are nice, but this is not the greatest gift. We'll celebrate the greatest gift on December the 25th. Jesus is the greatest gift. Now listen to me. They had peace despite poverty. Listen to me. They had peace despite poverty. But many people have anxiety despite plenty. They knew the joy of generosity. But many people only know the loneliness of ambition. They look to Jesus for hope. But many people in our society, and even maybe in this church, they look to Jesus for their hope, but many people just look out for themselves. Many people are shackled to the shallowness of the material. Look at this preacher. Don't you miss Jesus this Christmas. Won't you stand with me? Every head bowed for a moment. Kids, all you kids, look up here. All you teenagers, look at Brother Roger. The devil will destroy you. He wants to destroy your life. You cannot listen to the devil. You cannot listen to the world. The Bible says that Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The best time to get saved, any time's good to be saved, but listen to me. I think it'd be all right to say the best time to get saved is when you're young. Most people get saved while they're young, most. I didn't get saved till I was 29, but most people get saved in Bible school, Sunday school. But the older you get, if you're not saved, it becomes harder. Because the devil will get into your head. And you'll be serving him. Debbie and I, we go to the jail 3 times a month. And there's young people in that jail. And many of them would say, Brother Roger, I wish I hadn't stole that car. I wish I hadn't hurt that person. I wish I hadn't done those drugs. Brother Roger, I'm going to do 17 years. I'm going to do 18 years. I'm too young to do that length of time. And I can't get them out. I can't get them out of jail. But I can tell them about Jesus. And some of you kids, listen to me. All I'm trying to do is to prevent you, to help you. And moms and dads, listen to me. You got little children. You help me. You help me to train your children up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we can prevent. Maybe we can prevent some of this evil that's going on in this world. We can. I believe we can. The church is powerful. You are powerful. You have Jesus in you. Your words matter. Your life matters to somebody. Won't you sing it, brother? You come. You come and pray.
Oh,
Lord is speaking to you, He's dealing with your heart, you need to come right now. He may not be dealing with you tomorrow. He doesn't have to. You need to be obedient to the Lord when He's speaking to your heart. When He's dealing with you in your soul, you need to be obedient. Would you do that today? God is speaking to you. Would you just be obedient? Will you commit to the Lord Jesus? Commit to your family. Commit to the Lord. Commit to God that you're going to get closer to God every day. Will you make a commitment? See, God doesn't want you. He doesn't want you to make Him a promise. There's nowhere in the Bible that God says promise. But the Bible teaches commitment. Commitment is different than a promise. You can make a promise and not say anything. You can make it in your heart. But a commitment is something that you do publicly. You publicly commit to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to do that today. I don't know. I don't know what your need is. But I encourage you. Here today, you just need to let go and let God have His way and His will in your life. I don't know where, I don't know which side, I don't know in the front or the back, but somebody here today, the Lord is speaking to you, and you just need to let God have control of your life. Maybe you're trying to hold on to your own life. You got to let go. It's not your will be done, it's God's will. God's will be done in my life. Song. My will be lost in thine. My will be lost in God's will. People said,
amen.
Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. God's love for you is perfect. Don't fear. Don't have fear in your life. A lot of people, they live in fear, I'm telling you. And don't do that. Don't do it. You don't have to. Amen. Amen. I love you.